This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
All right, Place to Be Nation people of the Place to Be Nation universe. This is trying to figure out which way to do this. This is the Clash of Champions reaction show here. I'm your host, Chris Zellner. Our good buddy Will, not here this evening. He's doing things in Texas, so he'll be back, I guess, for the next show. So we'll see about that on No Mercy in a few weeks. But anyway, joined here tonight by the stalwart, the man who's always here every time, just about, Johnny Sorrow. Johnny, how are you doing tonight?
Yes, yeah, I'm doing quite well, even though a lot of people probably wish I wasn't the stalwart, but fuck you.
I am. You bring a certain charm to the shows, Johnny. It's missing when you're not here.
Well, that's quite nice. I appreciate that. Charm.
Yes. And we're joined by our newest regular, who's quite the hit on these shows lately. No longer just Dylan Hales' brother, but now has made his own name in the podcast world, Devin Hales. Devin, how you doing tonight, brother?
I'm doing great. I hope I can get on Goodyear's good side this time around, since he's
okay. Devin, let me put it this way. let me put it this way. Okay. To quote our host here, Chris Zellner, anyone who doesn't dig you on it can eat a bag of dicks.
Yes. And I don't care. Yeah, whatever. Devin, he brings all the knowledge.
And I'm also referencing.
He's watched more WWE matches than anybody on the internet.
And of course, Chris, I'm also referencing your amazing tweet after the end of the CWC that said if anyone's not into TJ after that, they could eat a bag of dicks, which I was so happy to read. I was like, thank you.
And I think I said that again on Between the Sheets. That's dropping today as well.
So. You shameless bitch.
So I can't remember what I said it for, though. But I think I said it on the show. But anyway, let's get to Clash of Champions. And real quick, I know a lot of people is like, why don't they have Clash of the Champions? And I think that where they're going with this, and you guys may agree or not, I don't know. But, you know, what's one of the most popular games right now in the internet world, cell phone world, is Clash of Clans. So I'm thinking that's where they were going here. They were playing off of that. So they dropped the duh, not the musical group, the duh, but they dropped the duh and did Clash of Champions instead of Clash of the Champions.
Well, or it could just be the fact that someone said it's a little mouthy. And just the fact that people are getting worked up about the word the is just, to me, the most amazing example of mentally ill people on the internet. And really, the is what you're really getting upset about.
Well, you know, some people are always going to complain. So.
But that's real weird.
Oh, I've seen weirder. Wasn't there weirder.
Wasn't there a running joke like back in you know, the 80s and 90s with WCW where they would, you know, the commentators would mix up, you know, calling it Clash of Champions or Clash of the
Champions? Oh, definitely. Yes. Yes. That happened a lot. Yes. So that's nothing new. So.
But the crazy thing is the people going, I wonder why.
Yeah.
They decide. It's the word the. It's nothing. It means nothing.
Exactly. Well, speaking of nothing, the pre-show was pretty much a whole bunch of nothing for the first 40-something minutes or so until they got to their match of the pre-show. Nia Jax versus Alicia Fox here. And Johnny, what do you think about Nia Jax's performance here? I think Alicia did, I think she made the best work against Nia since NXT.
This was what you would expect in a pre-show match, even though I still tend to think the idea of people going, oh, it's the pre-show, you know, you're being delegated to it, in the days of these days of the network, it's not quite what it used to be. But that being said, this is the perfect one for that. And it was a glorified squash. It was all about Nia Jax, and I love the presentation of her. Foxy looked fine. She's one of the she's been 10 years, they mentioned. I was like, it's 10 years. The last,
crazy.
Yeah, no, the models who they tried to teach to wrestle.
The Johnny Ace.
But she learned. You know, she got good, decent, good, whatever, and has a lot of character. But still, big squash. And what I really like about the presentation of Nia is that she's a giant monster heel chick, but she's pretty. And they make a point of showing you that she's pretty when it does that slow fade from the Titantron to her real face. And she's beautiful. She's a beautiful woman. And she can kick ass, and she's a monster, which I love that it's throwing away that the only chicks that could possibly be big monster heels have to be grotesque. You know, and like they're tossing that away with her. You know, she's hot. She's a hot chick who happens to be huge and can kill people. The match.
Well, she was a plus size. She was a plus size model.
Yeah, well, yeah, they mentioned that it was a model, and I saw some people go, "I don't know why they have to mention she's a model." I'm like, "Why not?" It's the truth. It's the truth. It's to the point of them. This is actually WWE. You know, putting out a character that's a big giant. You know, girl who's hot, and they mentioned she's a model because of that, and I thought it was perfectly appropriate for them to do so, and so I really dig the presentation of her. But the match itself, you know, it was just what it was. You know, it was just, you know, here's your pre-show match. It's Nia Jax killing somebody.
Yeah, absolutely. And the question here now, Devin, is I think that this probably is the end of the Alicia Fox storyline. Now, where do you go with Nia Jax now? Do you go back to just squashing randoms, or do you bring on another name female to go against her?
I would guess that you would have to start bringing in more, you know, main roster women now, because you know, once you get to that point, you know, a squash here and there, maybe on like Superstars or you know, on Raw every now and then is fine. But you've established that she can, you know, that she's a monster now. Now it's time to sort of, you know, build her up for a title shot or a title reign. So I'm thinking, I don't know about this whole Paige situation or if she's going to be back soon or not. I know she's not... you know, she hasn't parted from the company or anything at this point, but it's possible she could come back and be fed to Nia. That wouldn't surprise me, because
it would make the most sense.
Right. Yeah.
In many ways.
And it looks, I would say the other four main girls on the roster, Sasha, Bailey, Charlotte, and Dana, still seem to be tied up in the women's title picture right now. So I could see a scenario down the line, maybe at Survivor Series, where maybe Nia goes over Sasha in a match, kind of, you know, maybe Nia's first, you know, 10 minute or so, match, will end up being at Survivor Series against Sasha. But my guess would be that she goes against somebody like Paige, and they don't do the squashes as frequently. But as far as the match itself, you know, it was fine. There were a few kind of weird moments where Nia was kind of like looking around a little bit, but they weren't bad. It was just kind of awkward. You know, Alicia's a veteran. She looked pretty good. I liked her fiery offense towards the end of the match. She got the near falls off the crossbody and the scissors kick. And Nia's offense is still really, really vicious. I love when she slings people around. It's pretty vicious. So, I thought it was a fine match.
All right, now the only other female that they haven't really used is Summer Rae because she's been out with an injury. So
yeah, she's hurt.
The right. main four, Paige and Summer Rae. Now, you know, I've seen some people talk about who wasn't on the show tonight. And I'll ask this question to you first, Devin, then get you, Johnny. Who should have been in the pre-show match? I know people were talking about Enzo and Cass wasn't on the show. You know, a few other people weren't booked. Who do you think they should have put in there?
I was pretty surprised that they didn't have an Enzo Cass Shining Stars match on the pre-show. Enzo and Cass are really over. They can get the crowd really going with their promos. They're good workers, good tag team. Shining Stars are good workers as well. So I was a little bit surprised because, as you mentioned, Chris, most pre-shows are like this, but they really weren't doing anything on the pre-show. You know, I mean, they're just sitting around talking about the matches as usual. They could have easily squeezed in, even kept Nia and Alicia and squeezed in Enzo Cass and Shining Stars for 5 to 10 minutes, somewhere in there.
Exactly.
To get the crowd really going. But I don't think it's like a like a burial or anything like that
on the
show. I just think it was not really bizarre. I was just more surprised that they didn't have that match because it looked like they were setting that up for the show.
Yeah, and it was Clash of Champions, so all the matches on the main show were title matches, or the Sheamus Cesaro was for a title shot.
Right.
So they all had some type of championship meaning.
Sammy was.
Yeah, Jericho Zane. You're right. I missed that one. But Johnny,
well, here's the thing. to your point, but if they put Enzo and Cass versus Shining Stars on the pre-show, there'd be people bitching that they relegated them to the pre-show. So you can't win. So. You can't fucking win.
Yeah, you're right.
So it's just they weren't there. But like you guys said, it's not going to hurt them whatsoever. Weren't on this one.
Exactly. All right, let's go to the main show. And our first match was for the Raw Tag Team titles here with the New Day, Kofi and Big E versus the Club, Guns and Gallows, Gallows and Anderson, and Devin, the New Day was real over with this crowd tonight, and the Club, I thought, were on fire. What did you think?
Oh, I really, really like this match. I have not liked the feud coming in. I thought there were some pretty terrible segments coming in, so I wasn't looking forward to the match. Say. But, man, they killed it for the 10 minutes that they got. I mean, I kind of thought, I was like, oh, man, it's like an All Japan tag, Big E immediately gets taken out, which is a smart move by the heels because he's, and they also take out Xavier. And then Anderson does the running Liger Bomb. I was like, oh, crap. I actually thought they were going to beat them within seconds. I actually, normally I wouldn't, think that because, I've watched for a long time. So I was like, yeah, but this time I was like, oh, man, I think they might steal a win from him here. Just, within under a minute. I'm glad that they didn't do that because the match was awesome after that point. I liked how they isolated Kofi for a few minutes. He made his big comeback. He looked strong coming back. Big E had an awesome House of Fire hot tag. Some awesome near falls. They kicked out of the big ending. I think they might have been pulled out of the ring at that point, but there was a lot of really good near falls.
The first of many of those tonight.
Yeah. But it was a really, really hot match. I liked it a lot. I was surprised New Day retained the belts, but I think I kind of want this feud to continue somewhat because the match showed me that they can work really well together and they have great chemistry. And I really liked the fast pace, style of the match. I thought it was a really good way to kind of kick off the show because it got the crowd really into it and really, really had the show going to a nice start.
And I think that they, I think we're maybe getting like maybe a multi-tag, maybe in Hell in a Cell or something like that.
Sure.
Between all the, because they kind of, did something, that thing on Raw Monday where they had them all against each other. So we may see Enzo Cash, Shining Stars, New Day in the club and a four-way tag match. But yeah, I hope that this continues as well because, Gallows and Anderson, they've had their moments, but it's been kind of underwhelming times, but they really stepped it up big time tonight.
They were great.
One of the underrated guys right now, in my opinion. He's been really strong and so far and some of the stuff he's done. But Johnny, one thing that happened in this match is Devin was talking about, the attack on Xavier on the floor. Is from what I was understanding on Twitter that the production totally missed Gallows threatening to destroy the trombone.
Mm.
And people were like going nuts in that area, which is a shame that we didn't get to see that. Wow. But what were your thoughts about this friend?
Well, that gets to a point about this show that I sort of caught on was I hate to just jump onto the normal like, oh, Kevin Dunn sucks thing because he's done a lot of shit I've liked. But this show felt very much like old camera angles and shit are missing stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Did you get that too? Did you guys get that too?
Oh, absolutely. It's a Kevin Dunn production.
Yeah, it was a lot of really bad production based on what the guys and gals in the ring were doing. We saw that SmackDown pay-per-view with some different camera angles and everything was caught and it was really groovy.
Same crew,
but that's so weird. But no, but the same crew, but a different. But someone is a different director. Someone is different.
No, the same people.
Well, someone was making different directing decisions.
It's just like the creative. I tried to explain on Twitter to people that the same people that are involved in the creative on SmackDown are the same ones.
Oh, of course they are. But I'm
so it's crazy to look at how different the shows are in that way. And then the presentation.
That has to be intentional, though.
It is.
I'm thinking maybe like, okay, we want this to look different. We want this to look this way. But whatever the decision was, there were a lot of missed shots. Let's just go with that. And because that obviously that was one, which explains the move of Xavier using the fucking trombone to win. So they cheat. To win, which I dug. I was like, yeah, fucking New Day showing them that they, at the end of the day, man, they're badasses and they can cheat too. But if I had seen that whole threaten the trombone thing, it would have made more logical sense that the trombone was used as the finish. And I didn't know that was missed until you just said that. And there was a lot of that tonight. But yeah, I thought the match was a blast. And it's a weird thing. I've read a few people like, yeah, New Day, the crowd's turned on them. Really? I don't think so. And we're going to get into it more later. This crowd tonight, I never knew that Indiana was a capital of smart fan. It was just full of people who went to IWA Mid-South shows because this was the smarkiest smart fucking crowd and it was in fucking Indiana. This ain't New York or Philly or fucking Indianapolis.
It was an interesting crowd for sure in some spots.
But the match itself, again, I thought it was a lot of fun. I love Kofi's spot of getting out of the their finisher just by twisting and kicking on Anderson, and I don't think it's over either. And this might be one of those things where they choose to move the titles on Raw rather than the pay per view.
Right.
Yeah, that may not be the best thing either.
Of course, there's really no such thing as pay per view anymore. So it's just a term.
No, there's not. And all these shows are glorified television shows anyway these days. Just about all of them except for a couple. So, yeah, it probably... And I think this was the 400th day that New Day was champion, so
and the announcers gave in to the obsessive fuckers on the internet who, when they were going, New Day's got the longest reign, and people go, no, it's Demolition.
Well, they've mentioned Demolition lately on commentary
Finally went, they're the second.
Yeah, they mentioned Demolition lately on commentary on the television shows.
I'm like, really? And enough people cried about that fucking thing.
Yeah. All right, speaking of presentation, the Cruiserweight title was next. TJ Perkins defended the title against the Brian Kendrick. And Johnny, the entrance of TJ Perkins was amazing. Their new gimmick, I guess, is there's got to be some sort of tie-in with Mega Man, because the Mega Man Twitter account was tweeting about TJ's entrance and, you know, being aligned. His new Twitter handle is MegaTJP. It was a total, like, video game Mega Man tribute deal. The theme song is straight up like a video game type deal. I dug it a lot. And Brian Kendrick, again, looking like the world's greatest Adam Rose out there, you know, with the way he looked. And he was strong in his match tonight. But a lot of people have been kind of pessimistic lately about the Cruiserweights and how they've been presented on Raw Monday and even tonight, considering, you know, some of the more flashier guys aren't there or in the ring in this match, and it was more of a wrestling style. But what did you think, as somebody who's watched the CWC? What did you think about how everything went?
Okay, first of all I knew was that's a video game entrance. I don't know what the fuck Mega Man is.
Yeah, it was one of the most popular games of its day.
I played some video games, but I got it. You know, you could tell by the music and stuff, and I thought it was pretty cool. I liked that they saved TJ for the pay-per-view. You know, on Raw, they introduced the division to an audience, and it's like I said, they're introducing this to the big audience, not the people who watch the CWC, not us. You know, you need to, and so you need to get it over to everybody else, you know, the main audience, the real audience. And I thought a four-way match featuring four guys who can go out there and get themselves over, which they did, because on Raw they came out to crickets, and by the end of the match people were flipping out. So mission accomplished. And if you're going to introduce the champion, do it at the pay-per-view. And that's what they did with this entrance. You know, that was not his CWC entrance. You know, that obviously connected with people who understood what it was all about. The match itself, I liked it, but I don't think they were both completely on the same page, and I don't know if I'm going to chalk it up to TJ having a few, you know, maybe being a little nervous being out on that big stage for the first time, or Kendrick, you know, being back out on that big stage for the first time in a long time. I don't think they clicked incredibly well. I thought they put on a fine match, especially towards the end. But yeah, and I think the reason why they put Kendrick out there with him is because throw on that white fucking jacket, there might be some people who go, oh, I remember him in that part of the audience. And he is a guy who's been there. You know, he's been on pay-per-view. You're going to debut the division, put the guy out there who's been in this spot on TV, on pay-per-view. It's not something new to him. I thought that's why, but I don't know. I just didn't think they clicked all that well. I thought the match was fine, but it didn't grab me. I loved it. I mean, I didn't love it, but I liked it. But, you know, I was like,
I think the thing with Kendrick and Perkins is it's on paper. Yeah, it looked, I mean, like maybe I thought it was the best, you know, matchup.
Good. I thought the match was good. I think there were some chemistry issues for sure. You know, there's a spot with a neck breaker where there was some mistiming there. You know, there were some setups that were kind of clanky. I like the mat work early. You know, I dig all of TJ's you know, his dab into the Muda lock. And there was a point in the match where Kendrick had like the arms over TJ's head, and he had his foot on his head. I was hoping he was going to kick him in the head just to be a tad bit more vicious, but I was like, come on, kick him in the head. But he didn't do it, but it was still a nice hold there. I thought the match picked up a little bit towards the end. As far as how they worked the match, I had no problem with it. You know, I know some people on Twitter complained that there weren't enough flips and high spots and you know,
oh no, that wasn't the problem.
No, absolutely no. Not. I liked. You know, I appreciate you know the slow build and you know, cruiserweights isn't about how they wrestle. I mean, that's how they've been preaching that. You know, even at the CWC itself, they were like, it's the size and the weight. You know, the weight's the only thing. So they don't have to wrestle a particular style, you know.
Not
everybody has to go out and try 10 spots and 4 minutes on Nitro because that's all they have before Hulk Hogan, Buff Bagwell, and Conan come out. So I mean, that's, you know, it's I mean, it's. That aspect of the match is fine. I just think that they had some issues with chemistry. But it was a solid, really solid, good match. And the post match was cool. You know, I'm glad they're carrying on with this. You know, it'll help TJP ease into the main roster. And Kendrick as an angry heel is awesome. So I'm looking forward to a rematch.
And reading people that was there live, they said TJP got over really good with like the kids.
Yeah, you can hear that. Him.
And so, I mean, so they got something there. The thing about this is, it was good for what it was, but it was a little sloppy. And, you know, we've seen, I know you and I, Devin, have seen TJP and Evolve just rip
it
up
absolutely
this year against a wide variety of guys. But you can't go into this situation expecting those types of matches.
No.
Especially with Brian Kendrick, who, you know, Brian has not worked a lot. You know, he hasn't been one of these guys that's been working the indie scene a lot lately. I mean, he works here and there, but he's not out there, you know, having all these big matches.
Right.
And Brian is not going to be a guy for that style, go,
and,
go,
and
go,
also,
go style.
You know, Perkins doesn't do that stuff. I mean, you know, his Evolve stuff's a lot of map-based stuff. You know, he doesn't – does the 450 splash, but he usually builds to the move. He doesn't do a lot of – he's not a big high-spot guy, you know.
That's why these two look on paper like it was going to be the best matchup of the group in the head, you know, to start off with.
Right.
So
– well, you know, on commentary, they did say – that Kendrick said that when he puts on that jacket, maybe old habits could come back when he puts on that jacket.
Oh, not all of them.
No, I'm saying maybe he was stoned.
Yeah, I hope not all of old habits comes back, that's for sure. But, yeah, it's interesting, and we'll see what happens.
I don't think it's some sort of death knell or anything. It was...
No. And you know, they gave him 17 minutes on Raw. And then a 17-minute match, you know, with the commercial mixed in with the other guys. So, it's not.
Well, my thing on Raw was just Mick Foley's presence. That was the worst thing.
Oh, he was terrible.
That was the worst thing. And I am the biggest Mick Foley fan alive. I mean, he's my guy. I love him. But holy shit. That was the who decided that Mick Foley should be reading from a piece of paper and not know anybody. It was terrible.
That was a big error. I mean, there's no way around that, and we're gonna see how it goes. I think they're trying. They're definitely trying to do something, but there's reasons to be skeptical Oh, absolutely. You know, with some of the past dealings with the cruiserweights, but
yeah, we just got to wait. I think they're all in on it, but think about it. Like, okay, it can't be Stephanie who introduces them.
It can't be
Triple H, because then we'll get into Pete's conspiracy theories about it.
I mean, there's other people that feel the same way about Triple H involved. We'll see. I mean, this was.
Hey, Mick, you have to do it. Someone important has to do it, and he's like, "On, okay, I'll write these."
They should have got Dean Malenko come out there.
He had a lot of charisma.
Kidman and Dean Malenko could have gone out there together and did the intro.
Kidman and Dean Malenko come out there.
Jamie Noble, come on down.
I was about to say, Kidman and Dean Malenko to come out there and completely have no charisma? Okay, great. Jamie Noble, that's a good choice.
Jamie Noble and Nydia could feud with Heath Slater and his wife or shit like that. They could do a Western Union trailer park.
They're swapping.
Yeah, exactly. All right, back to the show. Cesaro did an interview dressed as the Prom King or Bond. In fact, there was somebody found a picture of Sean Connery as Bond wearing the same exact white tuxedo with red flower combo like Cesaro had on. So he's obviously been tribute to Bond.
Well, he's been doing Cesaro for a while.
Like I said, he was really showed out tonight. And we had the best of seven series, match seven, between Sheamus and Cesaro, a feud that I wish would go on forever because I love seeing
apparently it will.
Against each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the thing is, you know, people got to understand wrestling and best of seven series never end at the seventh match.
All the way back to
Magnum and Nikita. Magnum and Nikita went way more than seven.
To be fair, nobody knew that at the time.
Yeah, but still, I mean, there was controversy there too. So it is, and Booker and Chris Benoit, they had theirs, and I mean, this stuff happens. So it was interesting. But Devin, I know you love these two guys, and this was the best match in the show, in my opinion. And goddamn, I love these two men, and I hope they just. I just hope they work against each other forever.
Oh, yeah, man. I mean, the thing that I really like about these matches, these seven in particular, and really their series going back to 2013, is they have, you know, the learned psychology spots, like, you know, where Cesaro early in the match goes for the running uppercut on the floor. Sheamus, they tease the backdrop into the ring post again, but Cesaro lands it. You know, they teased the high cross backbreaker, razor's edge backbreaker again. Cesaro hits a sunset flip for a near fall. You know, they built up to these big moves. You know, they learned each other's spots and moves and have counters for them. So, you know, the series and matches build onto each other, which is what really makes these matches stand out, in my opinion, because there's that progression there from match to match. And another thing I really liked about this match, as much as, and you guys are right, best of sevens never end well, as much as I was annoyed and frustrated with the match ending, they built it to be more vicious as the match went along. It started out, I mean, you know, they weren't friends at the start of the match. They were, you know, beating the heck out of each other, but it got more and more vicious as the match went along and the spots got more and more violent. Speaking of violent spots, I'm sure we all thought Cesaro would be taking a trip to the medical center after his.
I think they were scared to death.
I mean,
you know, I don't know if they were, you know, everything was booked to be this way or whatever, but that had to be really scary.
Yeah, that was, my brother Dustin and I were trying to figure out if he was trying to flip or if he meant, I mean, like, I don't know if he just over-rotated or what, but.
He leaded himself.
Yeah, I mean, he.
Yeah, exactly.
looking at the replay, it looks like his shoulder saved his neck from breaking.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yes, exactly.
mean, that's literally what it looked like. His giant traps saved him from his, you know, demise, really. I mean, that's just the truth, it looked like to me. I mean, it was a scary spot. I thought it was an excellent match. And after that spot, things really picked up. They had some tremendous near falls. I thought that was it on that bro kick after that spot. Or I think it was right after that spot or close to it. I thought that was the match. And then Cesaro kicked out and they kept going. And, it bothered me that it ended in a no contest. You know, it was frustrating because the match was so great up to that point. But, you know, I mean, I'm not going to be disappointed to see them beat the hell out of each other again. So
that's the only reason why I'm not as upset as I would have been.
Right.
Because I love to see these two guys wrestle. You know, I mean, I could deal with another match. I'm fine with that. If this had been, you know, Joe Blow against you know, whoever, then yeah, definitely there's a problem. You have a finish like this on a show. But I got no problem with seeing these two guys go at it again. Johnny, Cesaro, when he did hit that, well, when he almost broke his neck, he looked like his eyes was almost rolling the back of his head.
Yeah,
and then he gets up and just keeps
that's
going.
That's right.
Yeah. That dude is just a serious.
Well, you know, he fixed his neck because he did it in the middle of the ring.
Yeah,
I'm always waiting for him to do that and then accidentally hurt himself, like Randy Orton hitting his when he was pounding his forearms against the mat and
broke his arm. The all time great injury. Like,
But whoops. To your point, the match is fucking amazing, fucking fantastic. We can all agree on that. And I agree at the first, the ending, I'm going, the crowd was chanting Foley, waiting for Foley to come out and go, like, this match will continue. And didn't do that. And I'm like, I don't know. But then I'm thinking, this is different, actually, than a lot of best of sevens, to where I can't recall any best of seven to where the seventh match is the most brutal brawl they've had and goes to nothing, and they have to do more. You know, that's new. That's a new twist. And after this match, like, I'm with you, man. I'm like, give me more of this. It's such a simplistic story they're telling. It's based on the draft, you know, the stupid fucking draft. And it's what it's based on. You know?
Right. Yeah.
The whole, like, oh, I was drafted this and I was drafted this. I'm tough and I'm tough. Let's fight. That's all it is.
This is almost that championship opportunity. Yeah.
You know,
which, you know, and a lot of people brought this up. Do you think that they're going to pull the swerve and the championship opportunity is going to be them forced to team up together for the
championship? I was thinking this. I wasn't thinking that, but sort of that when two guys go through this sort of a war, then they respect each other and become a tag team. That's kind of wrestling. That's pretty much wrestling 101.
And it's like Memphis.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It very much is a definite possibility. And think about that. A Cesaro Sheamus tag team. It's fucking Road Warriors. You know, outside of, you know, we've got, I mean, Paul Ellering has his new Road Warriors with Authors of Pain down in NXT. But, I mean, that's the most devastating tag team you can imagine.
Yeah, give me Cesaro and Sheamus versus the Revival.
Oh my God,
that would be a fucking kick-ass match. But you know, okay. Another thing they could do as well is they could always go this way, where they say, "Well, since it was a draw, no contest, you both get a championship opportunity against, let's say, Roman Reigns." You know, to make it like a three-way.
No, I think they're going to do some sort of a Texas Death Steel Cage, some sort of gimmick match.
Well, Hell in a Cell's coming, but I don't know if they're going to wait that long with you. And I don't know if they're going to put these guys in the cage.
No. I don't think they're. Yeah, you're right. But okay, maybe not a cage match with Hell in a Cell coming, but.
And they just did a cage match on Raw.
There's a long stretch between now and Hell in a Cell, so they might blow that off on TV, and then because it's like 5 weeks from now to Hell in a Cell, so.
Raw main event of these two guys in a like Texas Death, Last Man Standing. That's got to be it, because both these guys were left, barely able to stand. Last Man Standing.
Yeah, I mean that would be the smart way to go for the eighth match if they do that. So it's going to be interesting to see. I'm definitely intrigued in this one to see where they go in the next direction. One of the few things I'm actually intrigued with as far as stuff they got going on right now. So
it's really funny because it's like just one of those finishes that it got booed, but there's more to this.
Well, people are gonna boo a finish like that.
Always, yeah.
No matter what, so it is what it is. All right, Charlotte and Bayley had a little deal backstage where Charlotte cut a promo, and Johnny, I'll tell you what, I don't know. Charlotte has gotten somewhat better, but there's still, I don't know, there's something missing there. What do you think about?
Actually, I didn't catch this, but I do want to mention that it's good to see that D.L. Hewley is now the ringside doctor.
God. Yeah, that guy did kind of look kinda? Like him, didn't he?
Like him. I didn't catch I didn't catch the backstage promo, so I can't tell you. All I'm going to say about it, as far as in-ring, and we'll get to it, sharp fucking rules.
You didn't miss much of anything, so it's interesting to see see where they're going with that, and we'll talk about that.
I didn't catch Chris, promo either, by the way, but go ahead.
Well, you didn't miss anything. You didn't miss nothing. All right, Chris Jericho versus Sami Zayn, and Chris Jericho is somebody who has been hit and miss with me in the ring lately. Very much a miss in a lot of time, but his character is awesome. He is as good as a character now as he's been probably forever, but since WCW, his last run there. He's just fantastic in his promos and just the way he acts and all that stuff. Then he gets in the ring.
Chris, here's what it is. This Chris Jericho is the old man version of young, obnoxious Chris Jericho in WCW.
But the thing is, Johnny, is that he gets in the ring, and we'll talk about the match. He gets in the ring, and this early part of the match is fine. He's working like this old school heel stuff. Then he decides he wants to try to work, up to the young guy's speed.
It's dangerous.
That's
dangerous.
Yeah, I made the observation on Twitter that Jericho comes off as like the old rock star that's trying to hang on, and then he's trying to beat, trying to put out music like the new.
That's
rock
exactly
star,
what his so character is.
And the thing is that it just isn't working. But I know
it doesn't working. It isn't working. Half that crowd was cheering for Jericho.
Well, that was a weird crowd. I was so intrigued by that one because I didn't expect it to be so far behind Jericho.
Been a fear is that a guy that good who can reinvent himself that well and be that entertaining, there's a segment of that audience that's not gonna boo. They're gonna fucking cheer. Now I cheer because I love bad guys. These are people who are cheering great character work, and it's hard. It's a new generation, it's a new era, and it's really hard to watch a guy be that fucking amazing and them not cheer him, even though it's amazingly obnoxious.
Lots of stupid idiot signs.
You can see them.
But what you thought about? What thoughts about the match? Because there were some interesting stories being told in this match. What did you think about this, Johnny?
I loved it. I love the match. I love the fact that it's the story of that it's, you know, Kevin Owens' old girlfriend versus his new girlfriend. I love that.
Yeah, somebody joked on Twitter that if Russo was booking this, Kevin Owens would be on the pole.
By the way, Vince Russo's latest venture, he's here in Colorado as booker of my local fucking promoter.
Yeah, I know. It's amazing.
They got a TV deal out of it somehow or another, but at the same time, I'm like, but anyway, get back to this match. Oh, Jesus. Jericho's the best. He's the fucking best. And I didn't see him being all fucking, you know, oh, he's reckless or nothing. And this match, in fact, as it went on, his not being as good as he used to be is part of the character. It's part of the, he's playing that character. He's not trying to hang on to past glories in real life. He's putting over everybody, and he's, his sloppiness or whatever is, he's old. And I think it totally works for the character. I thought they had a great fucking match. And I thought it was proper that he went over, because
when they're building a title match for him is the rumor. I think it's supposed to be a triple threat at Hell in a Cell.
Oh, definitely. So. You definitely know it's coming.
It's coming, but hopefully they really stretch this out, because I'm really enjoying that he's like, no, me and Kevin Owens are really friends. You know, we're bad guys who are really friends. He wore the t-shirt at the end. It's fucking tremendous. If they hotshot Jericho Owens, I will be pissed. This has to be a slow burn. It needs to be a slow burn, because the act is fucking tremendous. And I love this. And I was shocked that Jericho won, but it's the right fucking decision. It was the right fucking decision. He hasn't won anything forever. And it's one of those things where, like, wow, okay, the veteran who's been around forever has successfully reinvented himself and gotten over again. You need to put that over. You need to put that over and fucking and run with it for as long as you can. And Sammy's not affected by that. Sami Zayn loses. It's part of his charm. So, yeah. I thought both guys were fucking bringing it. And yeah, Jericho was a little sloppy. But if you look at his character, he's supposed to be old and a little sloppy. So,
that's the way to explain it. That's the way to explain it. But it seemed like there was some stuff here that was more than normal. And the one key spot here was the bump off of the flying DDT. That looked bad, but Devin, I want to get your thoughts.
On commentary, they covered that he negated.
They did.
Yeah. Yeah. Corey Graves and Corey Graves was really good tonight. He's really strong performance by him. Yeah, he's probably the best announcer in the company. But Devin, I'll get your thoughts on the match. And Sami Zayn, your brother Dylan brought up a great point about how Sami Zayn basically is Apollo Crews, just with better theme music. right
that's
now,
ridiculous.
As far as the way he's being portrayed.
No, no.
So what did you think about Sami Zayn? Where did we go with him? And the thoughts on the match?
I mean, I didn't think it was that good. I mean, I really didn't think it was awful. I mean, it really wasn't that bad. I didn't think it was a bad match. You know, it was fine. I just didn't get too into it. You know, Jericho as old man Rudo is really good, but I don't know. I mean, I can see what Johnny's saying I could see that, but I really don't want to see him taking these tornado DDTs and stuff like that. I don't know. It's just, it's not what I want to see. Even if that is his character that he's sloppy in the ring, I don't like that.
No, somebody get hurt.
I mean,
essentially.
And I actually do like Jericho's character a lot. I think you know, he and the Miz are the two best characters in the company. They're best in the mic. They get storylines over. They get real heat. It's a little scary to watch for me. The match was fine. As far as Sami Zayn goes, I can see what Dylan's saying. That he's sort of like I think he's a better worker than Apollo Crews is.
Yeah. Apollo Crews, wait. Apollo Crews is, like I said, he's now on that show, he's Sam Houston. That ain't fucking Sammy on this show with all the pre-show stuff where he's being interviewed and this and that and that. Sammy loses, but he's not fucking Apollo, con.
Well, the thing with Zayn is I just don't know what they're going to do with him. I have no clue what he's doing. I mean, he's just, yeah, I mean, and Sami Zayn is the character. He is someone who loses for a while and then gets a big win. That's true. But I just don't know what it's building to. I don't know. It could be something long term, but I feel like they're throwing him into a match. And, you know, that's because they don't have anything else to do with him. They think, he should probably be on the show, so we're going to put him on the show.
Well, they didn't throw him into it. It's part of the storyline of he's fighting with his former best friend's new best friend. So
That's true, but I just don't know what – I don't know. I mean, I really don't know what they're going to do with him from here on. I don't know. It's just – he seems directionless to me. You know,
maybe he needs a cruiserweight run.
Yeah,
he's far too tall. He's far too tall.
Him and Neville could probably, you know, use that little run in cruiserweight. You know, just working with the guys and whatever. Maybe going, but you know,
Sami Zayn just feels like a guy who needs to be on SmackDown. I just don't think he can. I don't think he's. I just don't know. To me, it just doesn't seem like, you know, yeah, Johnny, you know, they did build to the match and it does make sense, but I just don't know what – I don't see anything for him to – I just don't know what he's going
to
do.
Okay, look, we're going to move on to the thing, but both of you now have made the list. You're on the list. You're both on the list.
Well – it's time for
Chris Jericho loves lists.
we'll see what happens with Sami Zayn. But
think about that. The thing that everyone remembers from WCW was him doing that fucking list, you know, with a list of moves, and now he's doing a list thing at the end of his career. It's such a great bookend.
Yeah, and again, him and Owens probably will be clashing soon, so we'll see what happens.
Hopefully, them to stay best friends forever.
Yeah. Now, Foley and Steph had their deal backstage with Owens and all this stuff, and basically, you know, Owens and Rollins are fighting for the approval of Triple H and Stephanie. I mean, that's what this is about more than the title or anything. It's about their affection of Triple H.
It's sort of like this. It's okay. The bad evil power group had a gunslinger, and now they've tossed that gunslinger aside for a different gunslinger, and now that gunslinger, the one that was tossed aside, Seth Rollins, is, you know, angry and fighting against them and giving promos saying, he's like, you can't convince me because I know you're bullshit because I was once part of you. And so I'm digging that aspect of this. So,
And the other thing is, I know a lot of people complain about the authority figure, you know, storyline. And yeah, I mean, it's definitely run its course over the years, but you know, it's not like this is going on just Raw. I mean, we have you know, Daniel Bryan's a focal point of SmackDown and his role and stuff, especially against The Miz.
Oh, yeah.
And Shane's out there as well. So it's not just on Raw, folks.
Oh, yeah.
It's just a different dynamic.
In fact, if you were going to look at it fairly as to which authority figure is more prevalent and thrown around their authority now, it's Daniel Bryan on SmackDown. But, you know, of course, oh, no, he's perfect. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a different dynamic, but. Yeah, I mean, that's just the way these shows are going to be.
Mm-hmm.
The authority figure is going to be a part of it. It's been like that since Mr. McMahon was created, the character. So we just got
right, but it's an old dynamic of a guy who worked for the bad guys who gets tossed aside and then turns around and is replaced. He's like, fuck you. I mean, that's not even just wrestling. That's movies, TV. That's a dynamic. So therefore, Seth Rollins shouldn't be suddenly slapping fans' hands and hanging out with all the baby faces.
Well, not yet.
Not yet. But I've read people being like, oh, well, he's still acting like a heel. I'm like, oh, it's...
Now he's transitioning.
Right. So when Roddy Piper was first attacked by Adrian Adonis... and beat up, the only guys who came out to save him, and you didn't even see it on TV because no one saved him on TV, but the British Bulldogs did in front of the live audience. And for months, you know, he had no friends.
Well, they didn't last as long as you think.
It was only about a month or so.
Piper. Yeah, Piper had already then started teaming up Hogan.
There was Lugs. I saw the one where the Hogan thing was on MSG, and that went at least a couple months because they did a thing where they brought Vlad in, Vladimir the superfan, would say that Hulk Hogan is going to team up with Roddy Piper, and that went over a course of a few months. But back in those days, as soon as you turned, you immediately were best friends with whatever group you've turned to, and Piper was a slow build into being a pure good guy, and that's what they're doing with Rollins right here. You know, it's just people are like, I still find his voice annoying. Yeah, but he's speaking truth now. So,
we'll talk more about him later. All right, Charlotte versus Sasha versus Bayley for the women's championship, the Raw women's championship, and. We'll start with you, Devin. This to me, and I made this comment to your brother on Twitter, actually, that this to me seemed like this was like the first time that Charlotte was really booked as like the quote unquote giant of the women's division, because she really is in size. Sure. I mean, she is bigger than these two girls. She worked that way. She dominated them in a lot of ways, if you think about it. And she was put over pretty strong here. But this was another match where we had bullshit on the outside and some sloppiness. But what did you think about the match?
You know, on Charlotte real quick, I think she's always had good facial expressions and her character work has improved. And she's, you know, been a pretty good character for the last several months. But I think this was probably her best in-ring performance that I've seen in a while. She was really good as the I think Dylan put it as a King of the Mountain like person where you know she was working over Sasha's back you know kneeing the hell out of her back and bending her like crazy. That's the good thing with ladies, you know, their flexibility is absurd. So looks like Sasha's basically getting her back broken and split in half over the ring post. Charlotte was real, real good in that match. I liked when she would just throw those sick elbows onto Bayley after Bayley had gotten taken out by Dana. And I also liked the start of the match where Sasha and Charlotte were like, basically like, getting in a little, you know, work shoot fight, basically, where they were just throwing mean forearms and beating the hell out of each other. That worked really well too, because, you know, they're in this heated feud. They hate each other at this point. So, I like that little touch to the match. You know, as the match went along, you know, I actually didn't mind Dana's interference, you know, because, I mean, you know, it's an ODQ match. She's at ringside. She can get involved, you know, and I think it helped a little bit, especially with, you know, getting Bayley out of the match for a few minutes. So, you know, it was a logical reason for why Bayley was out of the match instead of people just laying around in an average triple threat. But at the same time, I was like, well, why isn't Dana just interfering the entire time? But I guess if you
that's wrestling.
Yeah, I was just about to say that. That's wrestling's. If you think if you worry too much about logic and all of wrestling, you're going to fail miserably. You know, I thought once they started doing the triple threat moves and stuff, it was sloppy. I actually think, you know, Charlotte recovered fairly well. I think that might have been Bailey's fault on the spot where she was supposed to be pushed down by Sasha for the moonsault and both of them.
Yes.
But, you know, Charlotte recovered fine for that. But, you know, it was a little awkward because it took a while. You know, there was a couple other spots that were just kind of eh. A solid match overall. I think it got a little clunky towards the end. I liked Sasha's selling of the back and stuff like that. But I also I didn't hate the finish. You know, I think Charlotte should have gone over. That was the right person to win, no question. But I wasn't a huge fan of the big boot. She's been winning matches with that kick a lot. I just don't think it looks very good. So I think it was a weak finish, but I didn't think it was a terrible finish. But anyway, I just thought it was a weak looking finish. But it was a solid match. I think I liked the first half of the match better than the second half. But I think more than anything, it shows that Charlotte's improving in the ring, and it was a standout performance for her.
Now I'm going to ask you, and then John, you can come in after Devin is through. People were complaining a lot about Bayley being the one pin. You know, Bayley has been pinned lately, and she ate a pin tonight. But you know, we got to look at Bayley like this. Bayley is basically being rebooted in a way, yep. And that's how she got over NXT.
Exactly. Right.
You know, so I mean, this is the way of, you know, making her character, you know, what it was in NXT. I mean, you can't bring Bayley in and just have her just start,
exactly,
you know, winning all the time. She needs to be the underdog. That's her deal. I mean, don't you agree, Devin and Johnny?
I do. And you know, I saw people complain about that. And I get it from a standpoint of like, oh, man. I mean, like, I can understand you being like, oh, man, I don't want – but like, this is a situation where I think it just makes sense for her to lose, you know. This is a big match. It's a title match. I mean, she won like her first three, four matches on TV, and then
beat Charlotte.
Yeah,
on television.
Charlotte, you know, and yeah, and the Sasha pin was a double pin.
Yes.
You know. Well, speaking of that, I actually like that they played off with the near fall in the match at one point, but.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Bayley's like a Sami Zayn, you know. She's better off losing a bunch and then making a big rally and winning a few matches in a row and then winning the big match, just like she did in NXT. You know, when you move wrestlers up to the main roster, I think, you know, the reaction for a lot of people who enjoy NXT, and I actually understand the reaction, because when you when you're a hardcore like us, you follow that product and you get really invested into the characters. You know, Bayley's gotten great reactions on the main roster audience, and I think there's, you know, a good bit more of a hardcore fan base in the main crowds now than there ever has been. But you know, there's still time. You know, she still needs time to be, you know, to adjust to the main roster and to build her own story there. There's, you know, you can't just pick up where they left off from NXT. And I think that's where a lot of fans get frustrated with, is that, you know, fans want them to pick up where they left off from NXT. You just can't do that with with these wrestlers. You just can't, because it doesn't. Not everybody watches NXT.
Exactly.
Oh no, you're exactly right, and that's a mistake they've made with some people they brought up. Is they've tried to continue their NXT deal and not, you know, kind of, you know, reboot them in a way. But Johnny,
like Emma, for example.
That's the biggest example, really, of that type of mistake. Exactly. And even somebody like Baron Corbin and even Apollo, you know, guys
Bo
like
Dallas,
that.
Adam Rose,
Tyler Breeze, Bo Dallas, Adam Rose, yeah. Those mistakes have been made. But Johnny, your thoughts on everything that
exactly right. The reboot thing with Bayley is exactly right, because when Bayley left NXT, she had established herself as, yeah, I'm still the plucky girl that everyone loves and is an underdog. But she established herself as, no, I'm a badass who's the champion. They did.
Well, in all actuality, when she was left NXT, she's basically the ace.
Yeah, okay. You know, I mean, she lost to Asuka, but she, you know, fucking fought hard. And she got herself over to the point where the NXT audience is like, no, Bayley is fucking a badass. You want to recreate that on the main roster, the idea that everyone's gonna be like, oh no, we want Bayley to come out there and just be like an awesome women's wrestler who kicks ass. It's like, not everyone watches that shit. Let's do recreate it. And what they've done, I think, quite well is her character is now like, oh shucks, I'm up on the main roster, but in the ring, generally, she's, you know, being like a badass wrestler, and which is, it's a cool little dichotomy. But I just want to talk about, I love this match, by the way. I thought the whole thing was really, really good. And Charlotte, because a lot of people shit on Charlotte, and I'm like, look, like you said, Chris, like, she's huge. She's tall, she's muscular, she's a fucking athlete, and she's good enough to be like, no, that's the person you go with as your top heel champ of this division. And I also really love what they've done with her and Dana over the last few weeks, because a lot of people are like, well, obviously they're moving towards a Dana versus Charlotte feud.
Oh, it's coming.
Eventually. But what they did was they had Dana, this whole thing where, you know, she keeps fucking up and fucking up and fucking up and losing or fucking up. And over the last week or so, she gets in the ring after Charlotte's like, I've had enough of you, and kicks ass and has her best match. And where she gets back after she slaps Charlotte, by the way, slaps Charlotte and gets backstage, and she's like, you're basically not fired. Get my bags, which is her way of saying, okay, you know, you've earned my respect. And in this match, none of her interference cost Charlotte the match. That's a major important storytelling point of this. Because all of her interference leading up to this was costing Charlotte matches. This time it didn't. She's learning. And that's one of the major storylines going through this match. And I thought this was a fucking blast. And again, yeah, Bayley losing, it's not going to hurt Bayley. It's Bayley. You know, she loses. And you're like, oh, next time, kid. So,
yeah, it's gonna be interesting. And it's definitely when you add Nia Jax to the mix, where, you know, eventually somebody's got to be babyface in that dynamic, and then Dana, and that's the match that Vince is wanting to hold off, is Charlotte and Dana. He thinks that's the match, the money match, which I don't know about that, but That's what he and Kevin Dunn think. Kevin Dunn, for obvious reasons, because Dana Brooke looks like some of his favorite porn actresses. But
wait. Kevin Dunn likes 5 foot girls with muscles.
Kevin Dunn is into MILF porn for sure.
Well, no, MILF.
Know this from firsthand.
Hold on a second. I'm into MILF porn. She's like in her 20s.
Yeah, but she looks like she's in her late
30s. No, she doesn't.
At times. Yes, she does. The way they make her up with some of these, she looks like some of these MILF porn.
That makes about as much sense as
go to xvideos.com.
No, I refuse to, and that makes no sense because she's a
go look up an actress named Bridget B and tell me that she does not look.
Not gonna do that.
She's like 35, 36.
Nor will I call it whatever that is an actress, but you know.
They're acting.
Yeah.
They're getting paid to act.
I look at Dana Brooke and I'm like, that's a hot chick in her 20s, and you're telling me that it's supposed to be some sort of fucking weird MILF thing.
Yeah, but the way they make her up. If you look at her like if you look at her Instagram and stuff like that, when she's not made up like they make her up, then yeah. But the way that she's just like I said, the way she's made up, the way she looks on camera, that's the vibe.
The vibe I get from her is like, I'd let her crush my head like a fucking coconut. Like,
yeah.
Between her thighs.
I think you got to get their doll first. Doll. You got to fight Dolph Ziggler before you get to.
Oh, yeah?
Good luck. Good luck with that.
Well, you know, Amy Schumer said that Dolph was too athletic in bed, so he needs someone who can be just as athletic in bed with him. So.
Yeah. Oh, and one more thing about the women's match. It was nice to see that Sasha didn't try to kill herself numerous times in this match. She worked smarter here than she has lately, so good for her. All right, next match. The match I was looking forward to, pretty much almost the most tonight. U.S. Heavyweight title, Rusev against Roman Reigns. And Johnny, this has been built up for the past few months with Lana and Reigns and you know, having all their stuff going on, and it's interesting to watch this match. And talking about the dynamic involved here with the crowd, the first early part of this match, the crowd was doing the Rusev chant. Let's go, Rusev! Rusev sucks, which was something. And I thought this was a really good match, as expected between these two. But thoughts on the match and thoughts on the crowd in general. Reigns was just
thoughts on the crowd in general. I was born. I'm a New Jersey guy, but I was born in Kentucky, and so therefore I know that Hoosiers in Indiana are fucking morons, and are just basically the worst human beings on the planet. That are terrible, terrible people who should be exterminated. No. Exterminate.
So you're not a Bobby Knight fan?
No. I'm gonna throw a chair on his grave when he fucking dies. Dummy loser. Fucking Hoosiers. Who's your mother? And they don't know how to drive either. But
we don't endorse. Not everybody endorses the opinions of the state of Indiana.
The worst. It's the fucking worst place on earth. But therefore, these fans during this match couldn't figure out what they fucking wanted. But whatever. The match itself, I thought they brought it like a motherfucker. I love watching these two guys fucking wrestle. So much acting. I'm going to say it. Acting. Their acting is amazing with each other. You know, you truly feel they fucking hate each other. They were laying it in. I stopped taking notes and just sat back and enjoyed the fuck out of this. The crowd was annoying me a little bit, but fuck them.
And, well, I'm gonna say this real quick. Hey, I'm curious to see if you agree with me, Johnny. I think when push comes to shove, in ring, character, outside the ring, whatever. I think Rusev maybe
he's the best. Right now. He's fucking. I agree. He's tremendous. I said this a year or so ago when they were doing the fucking Lana breakup and Ziggler was with Lana and Summer Rae and all that shit. I'm like, you know, the only Summer Rae was doing okay, but the only person like shining through this was fucking Rusev. And I was like, that's what I knew. He's bulletproof. He's fucking bulletproof. That guy can do anything. And I think that was almost a test for him. And he's back to this. Doesn't matter that he fucking lost at all. You know, just, he is the best in-ring, like you said, in-ring plus character work guy. I don't think anyone can touch him. I really
he's
don't.
He's great on the mic, too.
And great on the mic.
So good.
He's my favorite guy.
And he's good. He's good at also communicating in the ring to the fans. Oh, totally.
Everything he does means something. Everything he communicates to a huge, large crowd. Even not just his, like, well, you know, Machka and all that. His little things. All of his little things fucking get over with the crowd. And not to sell Roman short, because Roman's fucking great. I could watch these guys again, like Cesaro and Sheamus. I could watch these guys have a feud forever as well. You know, it's fucking fantastic.
Absolutely.
And it was the right choice, because whether or not, you know, people don't like Reigns, whatever, yeah, his first step back to working his way back up is a mid-card title, the U.S. title.
Well, you know what this is, and Devin, I'll get your thoughts on this. This is basically what they did with Cena. You know, you give Cena and you give Reigns the U.S. title to keep them out of the main picture right now, because the fans really don't want to see them in that role. And we saw how great John Cena was as the U.S. champion. Do you think that Reigns will have that same type of impact as U.S. champion?
Yeah. You know, as far as the Roman Cena comparison, I think that Reigns, I don't think it's a good idea for him to do something like the U.S. Open Challenge, because I think it's, I don't think you want to copy what he did with, you know, what Cena did. And I think that Cena's, what made Cena's reign really unique was the U.S. Open Challenge. So I don't think they should do that with him. I definitely think that it's going to be a situation where Roman's U.S. title reign is on equal footing with Owens, WWE Universal title reign, just like Cena and Rollins were kind of on equal footing as like co-main eventers last summer and fall. So I think that comparison is definitely apt, so to speak. As far as the match, I thought the match was good at first. You know, it was okay. I was like, eh. I was hoping for a little bit more, but it was fine at the start. But then they really picked things up towards the end, and got the crowd really, really into it. I really loved the near fall with the spear, the first spear.
Yeah,
Lana's timing was perfect on that.
Yes, when she did a really good job in that role.
That was a really, really good timing, and I laughed a little bit when the fans started cheering when Lana got thrown out, because I think they forgot to boo Roman.
They got caught in, they caught up into it, because, you know, he hit the Superman punch and people were cheering then. So they worked themselves to a shoot.
Yeah, there you go. If you recall in the Styles matches, the fans would pop for a Roman spot and they would go, "You still suck."
Yeah.
"You still suck," because they were trying to cover up for the fact that they cheered Roman Reigns in a match.
Yeah, it's the John Cena surprising you at the Royal Rumble effect. Yay! Yeah. Oh, wait, boo! Yeah.
It always cracks me up because Roman is such a good worker that he gets the fans to do his matches and they get behind him, and then they forget that they're supposed to boo him because that's what they're told to do on the internet, or that's what they think they're supposed to do because they for some reason think he sucks, which is really stupid.
Because he has muscles that is pretty and the office is behind him, so therefore he stinks.
Well, the ladder's the thing that's the biggest one, actually, in a lot of people's minds, is that he's the chosen one, so we got to boo this guy.
Well, he's a chosen one who's really fucking good, so
yes, exactly. He's awesome. He's awesome.
But yeah, I like the match. I thought it was real, real good. And I hope they have a rematch down the line. And as far as Rusev goes, I totally agree with Johnny. I think his emotional range, I guess would be the term to use, is excellent. Like, you can tell that he's hurting, you know, when he sells. Like, his grimacing and stuff like that is really excellent, top-notch acting, as Johnny said. So, yeah, it was a really good match. And Roman winning is perfectly fine.
That's what had to happen. I mean, it's the right finish.
Yep.
It's the right finish. There's no way around it. He needed to come out on top. And maybe they'll do – I mean, you know, we got 5 weeks until the next big show, so they may do another match between these two down the line. Who knows? But it's going to be interesting to see where, you know, once this is over, where Rusev goes from here, who he gets slotted to work against. So, I don't know. But, yeah, these two were pretty great. And the fans, again, you know, it's interesting, and I think, and I made this comment on Twitter, I think for Roman Reigns to get over with the fans again, that the majority, they'll probably have to do a total, you know, reboot makeover on him. Like, they would have to just completely change his whole look, you know, and I think that would, and his whole character and everything, and that would be the probably only way to get a lot of the, you know, male fans, especially who it is.
It's male fans, and that's what it is, because kids and chicks fucking love Roman Reigns. And as far as the gear goes, I thought about this while Rusev was grabbing him by his gear, and the ref's got, not the gear. And people have complained, like, well, if he's a tough guy, why does he wear armor? I'm like, well, apparently the armor works as well as Stormtrooper's armor in Star Wars. That being, it doesn't work. So, therefore, it's just like a t-shirt, right? Because if he gets punched or kneed in it, he's hurt. So, who gives a shit if he's wearing the armor? It apparently doesn't work. It's just for looks. So, who cares?
It's no D'Lo Brown chest protector.
No, it's not.
And regarding this match, I thought it was second best match on the show behind the Cesaro Sheamus match. Now,
it's great
to
match.
The
great
main
match.
Event. And we have Seth Rollins against Kevin Owens for the Universal title. And to me, this match came off really flat in many ways. And Devin, I'm curious to hear what you have to say about this, because I don't know about this one.
I wasn't a big fan of it. You know, it really wasn't a bad match. It wasn't sloppy, and you know, there weren't like bad spots really. It was just kind of boring to me. You know, I don't think, you know, I think it's in a, I think the fans were confused. Of course, you know, this crowd has been kind of weird all night. So, I mean, you know, that crowd's going to be that crowd, but they were kind of confused about who to cheer and who to boo, you know? But you know, it is basically two heels, or at least, you know, one heel and one tweener.
In the fans' eyes, it's basically two baby faces.
Well, that is true, but I still think that regardless, they were confused.
Yeah.
And, it was okay. You know, sometimes I like Owens working the headlock. Other times I don't. This is one of those times where it didn't really interest me. I enjoy it when he jaw jacks and says funny stuff while he's in it. I don't think he did it quite as much as he usually does. And I'm not the biggest fan of a headlock spot in general. But, you know, that wasn't awful. It was just kind of eh. I thought the match picked up towards the end. You know, it was decent towards the end. I thought the rib breaker off the top rope was really nasty, and Seth was either selling his ribs really well or his ribs were really fucking hurting him.
Yeah.
but you know, and I like the frog splash near fall that followed that. Yeah, I mean, you know, and they went to a decent little hot stretch there. Crowd was starting to get into it pretty well. The Jericho interference made sense. You know, I didn't care for it that much, but I thought it was a little, there was some mistiming. I don't know who it seemed like there was some mistiming in the interference a little bit. Or maybe there was a production issue. But I don't know. Something seemed off about that finish, and I wasn't a huge fan of it in general. But I do think it seems like that they're building. Now this is just a rumor, but the rumor was that there would be Hell in a Cell triple threat with those three guys, and to me that seemed like where it was building to based off what happened in the finish of that match. As far as Owens winning, it was the right guy to win. Jericho helping him, you know, that doesn't really bother me. I just thought it was executed kind of weird. And another funny moment, after they broke the table, when Owens missed the center to the table, the Spanish announcer went, like, you know, crawled back over the barricade as the same time as Jericho was coming down the ramp. I thought the Spanish announcer was Triple H in the distance. Now you laugh, but I mean, they don't look alike at all when you see them up close. From a distance, you know, I couldn't really tell. He was a guy with short hair and a suit. I was like, oh, it's Triple H.
Well, I think the fans were all waiting on Triple H.
Yeah. That could be it. You know, there were some, you know, maybe some, you know, theories or rumblings that Triple H would interfere and cost Rollins the match. I thought it was Triple H. I was like, oh, there's Triple H. And I thought that damn Kevin Dunn caught Triple H climbing over the barricade to come in to interfere. But no, it was the fans were cheering for Jericho coming down or going, making some noise and Jericho came down the ramp. But, it was, you know, the match was, you know, it didn't do much for me. I thought it was pretty boring. And the finish was executed weirdly. I was just there for me, really.
I think what they were going for, and I don't like, you know, I thought it was overbooked, way overbooked there at the end, but I think the story they're trying to tell with the referee coming out when they came out is they're making it look like that Stephanie is favoring Owens and that she sent the referee out at that time. And not when Rollins had Owens pinned on the pedigree. And right. And they showed Stephanie on the camera, and she had this look on her face, which, you know, if you caught it, you're supposed to think that, okay, she did that on purpose. That she sent that referee out at that time, you know, to make sure that Owens
got Rollins. I thought the look on her face was very... It was nothing was obvious about the look on her face. You could take it either way, which I think your way is probably the right way to
because
go.
Because I think we got to think that it's going to be, you know, Triple H and Stephanie, which she was in on the whole time or whatever. It's going to be that way. They're going to pull one in on Foley.
We'll see.
I mean, that's what I think.
Yeah, it's that could be the case. I always thought when they had Foley as the GM that it would work out fine for the first for like a while, and then they would eventually fire Foley as the GM because he was getting, you know, because he and Stephanie couldn't get along for one reason or another.
But, yeah, but Mick Foley can do a heel.
Oh sure,
quite
yeah.
Well. So
yeah, he can.
But he's not. I mean, he's basically a neutral-ish. He's still like more of a baby face, but he's neutral-ish. He's doing this deal where he's trying to see the best in Stephanie and all this other stuff. And blah blah blah. I just got the feeling that it's gonna just
to yeah, me. Well, he even did the thing after Owens was insulting him and everything. He turns and goes, "I like his fire."
Yeah, I mean he's trying, but Johnny, your thoughts on the match and how everything went there?
I loved the match. I thought the match was fucking fantastic. I'm surprised neither of you addressed the elephant in the room of the suck it.
Oh, it was I mean, that could go either way. I mean, who was his best friends?
No, I thought it was fucking perfect.
Yeah, I mean, it plays off of the, you know, the Triple H connection, but also the Young Bucks being his best friends and this, that, and the other. It played into that way as well.
Right. It's exactly.
Having to read into it.
Exactly, but, you know, oh my God, I haven't read anything yet, but I'm sure just tons of nerds are fucking angry right now about the suck it thing. Yeah. And I thought it was fucking perfect. I'm like, oh, Kevin Owens trash talking during this match, I thought was fucking great, hilarious. I'm a heel fan. I like bad guys. And I don't like bad guys who are cool or because they're cool. I like them because they're assholes, because they're my favorite characters. And Kevin Owens is fucking at the top of the list of my favorite guys who just trash talk and are assholes. And I get a kick out of when they get their comeuppance a little bit. But I love it when they punch him. Like that chin lock spot that he does. And on Raw, it was even better. They worked that chin lock spot on Raw so well that a crowd of people that normally would hate a quote unquote rest hold were fucking popping over a fucking chin lock. And I'm like, if you can do that in this day and age, you are a great professional wrestler. And Kevin Owens is a great professional wrestler. I'm just so high on him, and he's my favorite. He's one of my favorite guys. I just think he's been given the opportunity and is running with it amazingly. He's just so good, and I like his work in this match. I thought Rollins, the role I mentioned before of he's not a total babyface yet, but he's the, you know, you kick me out of the mob, I'm going to burn the mob down character. I thought he brought that in his work in the match. I loved the fuck out of it. I thought the match was a total blast. So
I just thought it was flat. The work was okay, but I don't know. It just didn't come off like Cesaro and Sheamus and Rusev and Reigns.
No. I think these guys have a lot better match in them between the two of them, and there were better matches on the show. But I don't think this stunk by any stretch.
I didn't say it was bad. I said it was flat.
Yeah, and
it hurts, and it's like Devin said, it hurts that there's not a, you know, clear defined characters.
Well, no, there aren't clear defined
characters. Not really.
Yeah, there
you
are.
Just said that Rollins was gray, in a shade of gray.
That's clear defined characters.
Not good versus bad, though.
No, it is. It is.
Not really.
Yes, it is. Well, they're clearly defined characters.
No, they're not.
Hold on. Clearly defined characters doesn't have to be, I'm a good guy, I'm a bad guy. Clearly defined characters can be, I'm the guy who got fucked by these people, and
but
now
people don't
I
care. They're not caring about
it. I do.
Well, you. But look at the crowd tonight. They did not care about that whole thing.
This crowd tonight likes to fuck their sisters. You know,
well, that's the crowd they're performing in front of. So that's the crowd that we got to watch.
Hoosiers mean nothing.
I don't think the crowd knew. Like, I think that they see. Like, I mean, I think obviously it is. You know, Rollins' character is clearly defined as the guy who gets kicked out of the group and you know, is trying to attack Owens. I just don't think the crowd gets that. I don't think that, you know,
the only people cheering in this crowd were the smarky fucking loud dudes, and they were digging Owens because we all love Owens because he's the guy we relate to.
The thing is that that's the problem, though, is you want – that's one thing about Roman Reigns. You know, Roman Reigns, the people that do cheer for him are the women and the kids, and you hear that. In this match, you ain't hearing no women, no kids. They don't know who to cheer for. They don't like both guys.
That's kind of how I feel.
Quickly, they're going to start cheering for Seth Rollins.
Well, yeah, but not right now. That's the thing. It's not right now. It's where we're at. We're in the now. We're not, you know, down the line.
Yeah, but this. Look, I'm not judging anything based
and
on
Rollins
this.
Rollins still comes off as a whiny bitch on television.
I don't think he does.
He did tonight. He
does whatsoever.
He did tonight.
No, I think he does still a little bit.
He was whining about Stephanie lying to him.
No, you're confusing whining with the way his voice sounds.
No, it's still whining no matter what. He's still whining about, you know, them leaving him for Kevin Owens. He's a jilted lover.
But for him saying, look, you dumped me to the side for this guy, and I was here for you, and now I'm going to burn you down. Like I said, it's an older character as there has been. And it's just that Seth Rollins has a whiny voice. You know.
And Seth is he works like a babyface. He worked like a babyface when he was a heel. That's not the problem.
I agree, but now he's a babyface.
But
and
they're still not into him yet. They haven't invested in him emotionally yet.
Yeah, well, I think they have on Raw, but like when? I said, this crowd is full of dummy Hoosiers. And
they weren't really invested in him emotionally on the last week's Raw. He caught until he hit the big spot top of the cage. You know, which that's gonna get a pop no matter who does it. I mean, Ellsworth up there, and he can.
I'm not judging anything based on this crowd tonight because this crowd tonight was fucking weird.
It's still a work in progress, but I mean,
it's a slow evolution.
But I think you put them against Triple H fans, but you're Triple H.
Yeah,
depends you know that. It's odd. I mean, please. Triple H is going to be over more than anybody else is.
Triple H is going to get that because there's still just nostalgia.
But that's a problem, though, if he's supposed to be a heel.
Well, why are we talking about Triple H? He's not even.
Coming. That may be your Hell in a Cell main event from what people are saying.
When I see it booked, I'll more worry about what people.
Yeah, of course, the original Hell in a Cell main event was supposed to be Jericho, Owens, and Balor, with Rollins in the Balor spot. But you know, it's coming. Triple H and Rollins is coming.
Oh, of course it is. But I'm just. Triple H is going to get the positive because most people don't hate him because he beat Booker T 13 years ago.
Well, he's loved now because of who he is outside the ring. I mean, he is, you know, he's the guy that brings us NXT. He's the guy that brings us to CWC. He's this guy.
Maybe this is...
That's only a segment of the fans.
But that's very vocal fans. Love him.
No, a lot of the other fans also love him because he's a guy who's been around forever, and they remember him and dig him from the old days. You know, it's not just the NXT thing.
Back to Rollins, maybe it's a timing issue. Maybe it's August 29th was the date of the Raw that Triple H comes out, pedigrees Rollins, Owens wins the belt. Maybe 4 weeks is too short of a time to have this match. Maybe it's the scheduling of the pay-per-views. Maybe you know fans need more time to get you know into the. Maybe this is a match that would have been better off happening on TV.
Well, you know, instead of a bigger show. Balor, you know, getting hurt totally screwed everything up.
Oh sure, yeah.
You know. It just tells you, if what I remember, I think Rollins was supposed, him and Zayn were supposed to have a program, and so Rollins still going to be heel. He wasn't supposed to turn. So Rollins will still be the heel if he having to deal with Sami Zayn, while you have Balor and Owens going at it. So Balor getting hurt just changes everything around, and they had to do this on the run. Although the plan was anyway, before Seth Rollins got hurt, was to do the Seth Rollins Triple H angle, where Seth was going to go babyface, and Roman Reigns was supposed to go heel, you know, with Triple H. That was Survivor Series of 2014. So, you know,
it was 2 years ago.
I know, but that was the original angle, and now they're going to do it. They're going to do the Rollins Triple H deal now. So. Oh, it's interesting to see how everything's going to play out. And yeah, I'm with you, Devin. They may have shot this one a little too early. It may have been for the best if they would have did Owens and Reigns on this show, you know, first off. And maybe do Rollins against Rusev. That way it's easier to have Rollins as a babyface in that role going against the Russian. You know, you would think.
So, Bulgarian.
Well. But anyway, I mean, it's you know, I don't know. They've had to change stuff around, and we'll see how they go. But
I just say that because I work with a guy who's from Bulgaria, and I mentioned Russian at him, and it was not popular.
I'm pretty sure it wasn't. All right, let's talk about the show as a whole here. Johnny. Thumbs up, thumbs down in the middle. What are your thoughts?
Thumbs up, but I felt a lot of the camera work was really shitty on this show. A lot of the camera work really took me out of it. I thought all the matches were fucking good, if not great. But there was something about the production that just kind of threw me off, and I wasn't digging. Thumbs up, but there's just something there, and I can't put my finger on it.
Deb?
Thumbs in the middle. I think there was a lot of good in-ring work. I think there were some weak finishes, some awkward finishes. The booking wasn't the greatest. It wasn't awful, but it wasn't the greatest. Thumbs in the middle, though. Pretty solid show. At least from an in-ring standpoint, for sure.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think there was enough good stuff inside the ring to keep this from being a thumbs down show. So I'm with you on the thumbs in the middle. But all right, since we got this deal now, where we have every month except for a couple, we have these dual shows. Best one of the month, SmackDown and Raw. We had Backlash and now this show. Who won the month? Devin, you first.
I'm going Backlash. I think that I think the in-ring work presentation and booking was better. Dylan actually disagreed and thought the in-ring work was pretty even, but the booking was better on SmackDown. But I liked in-ring work even more on SmackDown, actually. I think that I'm a huge fan of SmackDown Live right now. I think it's a really good show. I really like the booking and the presentation, and I'm really invested into some of the characters, like, you know, Slater winning the tag belts was a great moment. Becky winning the title was a great moment. AJ winning the title was a great moment. Even a throwaway match like Kane and Bray Wyatt was a fun plunder match. They just kind of had to throw on last minute. I really liked Backlash more. Pretty handily in this case, but I would go Backlash here.
Johnny,
I'll go SmackDown as well. But again, it has nothing to do with the in-ring. Where I think everyone tonight was working their asses off just as much as everyone on the SmackDown show was. There was just something, again, about the presentation, the camera work and the shots and everything that was just off tonight. Something was off. I felt it throughout the entire show. I enjoyed the entire show. I give it a big thumbs up. I thought everyone worked their asses off. From a production standpoint, I just felt something was off. There was a lot of missed shots. There was I don't know. You know, can't put my finger on it, but something just wasn't there. And the SmackDown show felt fresher and more hip.
All right. I can I'll make it a clean sweep. I think Backlash as a whole was a better show altogether than this show. So we'll see.
I'm not shitting on this show whatsoever, but
we understand that SmackDown show
was pretty fucking tremendous.
Yeah. So we'll you know, we'll see what happens in the month of October. But
But anyway, we're getting two a month. This is gonna go back and forth.
Yeah. Probably so. All right, Johnny, let's go to plugs here. There's a new Titans show that just dropped, is it not?
No. I do want
to plug. I thought it was. I thought I saw a tweet. Mystery Titans Theater, a new one, just dropped?
No, I wasn't on it.
They did one without you?
I was actually working for a living today. No, I want to actually plug, though, Kelly's. My buddy Kelly, my fellow Titan, he is History of the Madison Square Garden show. I'm not any part of it, but if you're not listening to that, you're a dummy. It's the best. It's the best fucking show any of us do. It's tremendous. Real quick,
Johnny, I'm sorry. I thought you were on. It was just Parv and Kelly on this new episode of Mystery Titans.
Yeah, I know. So you know, I mean, you know, it's only going to be half as fun.
and they discussed April 22nd, 86 MSG show. So there you go.
Yeah, but no, but the At the Garden show that Kelly's doing is current history of Bruno Sammartino at the Garden. It's must listen stuff. It's fantastic. I can't praise it enough. I'm jealous. I'm almost jealous that someone's doing a show that good. But the fact that it's my buddy, I'm proud. It's tremendous, and everyone needs to fucking listen to it.
Good deal. Yeah, he does a lot of hard work on those shows. I give Kelly that.
Oh, it's so good. It's so good. It's quite similar to the You Must Remember This podcast that Christina Longworth does. That's amazing. And he's doing something different, and it's fantastic. I love it.
And Between the Sheets, of course, drops it's the same day as this show on Monday, and we're discussing the week that was, let's see, September 21st through the 27th, 1995. Me, Bix, and Joe Gagne. Joe's back on the show with us and talking about all kinds of fun stuff in your house, which was talked about on tonight's show by Michael Cole, with it being the first show that Kevin, a young Kevin Steen, attended, the very first pro wrestling show he attended live. So we were talking about that show, talking about ECW wackiness, Time Warner merging with Turner and all the stuff that followed there. Some funny stuff in Mexico, Japan. Just we run the gambit, and Joe's a good guest. So go check that out.
Oh, he was on Brainbuster. Yeah, I love him.
Check that out. Yeah. And Devin, I know that you have your project going on for watching all the WWE matches. How's that going right now?
It's going good. I put up my August post on my wrestling virtues at .blogspot.com. It's on my Twitter as well, which is at King Motivator H. I'm probably around like 11 to 1200 total matches so far this year.
Machine. You're the machine.
But hopefully I
can get Jizzy Big Machine.
Hopefully I can get my September ratings out in early October instead of like the third week of September that I did in August. But
see, now I'm picturing you, your brother, and your dad as the machines.
Papa Machine. Papa
Machine. Dylan Machine. Devin Machine.
Yeah, that would be something else. But the one thing that Devin does is he watches all the, you know, like main event and superstars and stuff like that. And he's like he's the total expert on those shows. So if you were to pick a match from those shows to watch of the recent shows, which match would you recommend?
Rusev versus Jack Swagger from I can't remember the date. It was in like the last week of August, I think, on Superstars. It's real good. It's real, real good. Both guys are real good, and it's, you know, it gets like 10, 12 minutes. It's an awesome match. I think I even had it in my rankings. It's really good. It's definitely worth checking out.
Yeah, don't sleep on those shows, folks. There's some good stuff that will be on there. So,
and don't sleep on the new Jack Swagger deal going on in SmackDown.
Yeah, we'll see where it goes.
Hey, no joke. His matches with Baron Corbin on Superstars in the summer were really good. So yeah, when they have their match at No Mercy, it's probably going
to
be
Meltzer
damn good,
thinks
so.
This will be a start of a shooter faction. So we'll see where that leads to.
Well, his character is that he's like, well, why do you want to fight with Baron Corbin? He's like, he's supposed to be tough. I'm tough.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, I'm good. I'm good with that.
Yeah, so we'll see how that ends up. But fantastic. And No Mercy coming up in a couple weeks. So we'll be back for that show. We'll maybe back. Who knows? We'll see. But anyway, Devin, John, thank you for being on the show. And we'll do it again in a couple weeks. And this is Chris saying so long, Peach State of Georgia.
Oh, Peach State of Georgia.